In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expire, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless, and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Our Lady, Queen of Peace,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
The Patrick Madrid Show.
It deepens my faith. It gives me understanding. And I also appreciate the current events.
Good morning, Therese.
Don't ever stop talking about current events. I feel like between your show and Drew's show, I am so much better informed to make decisions about things and to pray on things.
You know, as you're saying that, I'm reminded of what Jesus said in Matthew 26, in verse 41. He says, to watch and pray so that you will not enter into temptation. Now, obviously, they didn't have television or radio or newspapers in those days. But he still taught the people to watch the signs of the times, to be aware of what's going on, and he used examples. I don't think Jesus wants us to just ignore what's happening in the world and just talk about churchy things, because then we will be caught unaware, and he tells us to watch and pray.
At the intersection of faith and culture, The Patrick Madrid Show, 8 a.m. Central on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
You know, having that peace, that's going to be absolute confirmation that you have been following God's will, that you understood where God was calling you, you accepted that, you acted on it, and God will give you that peace.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think, you know, we kind of buy into things that we think are going to give us peace or joy or happiness. Paul talks about it in Colossians 2, 6 to 10. He's saying, no, be rooted in love, walk in him. See to it that no one captivates you with empty philosophy. So we could be what a friend had once called self-propelled Christians. So without God's love, it's almost like we're Fred Flintstone.
I guess it's kind of relaxing to know I'm at the wheel. Relaxing nothing. It's terrifying.
We're trying to push ourselves. God's like, you're being the protagonist. He says, let me do it. And when we do, you know, that peace is actually going to start to come up within us.
The Inner Life with Josh Raymond.
11 a.m. Central on Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Your daily dose of faith, hope, and charity. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
John Harper for Drew this afternoon. He's back tomorrow here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. You and I have seen and heard the pain resulting from the shooting at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas, just a couple of weeks ago. This morning, the House Oversight Committee heard dramatic testimony from survivors and loved ones of victims. 19 children, 2 teachers killed just a couple of weeks ago. Anufo Reyes was a fourth grade teacher at Robb Elementary. He survived. shot three times. 11 of his students were shot and killed right in front of him. He spoke with ABC's Amy Robach.
You said you were praying. Do you remember what you were praying for, what you were saying in your prayers?
I prayed the Lord's Prayer. I prayed my Hail Mary. It all happened too fast. Training, no training, all kinds of training. Nothing sets you ready, gets you ready for this. One of the students from the next door classroom was saying, "Officer, we're in here. We're in here." And then, but they had already left. "You have a bulletproof vest." I had nothing. I had nothing. "You're supposed to protect and serve. There is no excuse for their actions. And I will never forgive them. I will never forgive them. I will go anywhere to the end of the world to not let my students die in vain. They didn't deserve this. Nobody in this world deserves this kind of pain. I tried my best. What I was told to do. Please don't be angry with me."
Zanufal Reyes, fourth grade teacher at Robb Elementary. You and I have seen these tragedies unfold since Columbine in Colorado more than 20 years ago to Uvalde, Texas, just 2 weeks ago. Monsignor Robert Weiss knows the emotional, the spiritual pain firsthand. Monsignor is the pastor of St. Rose of Lima Parish in Newtown, Connecticut, in the Diocese of Bridgeport. He just wrote a letter to Father Eduardo Morales, who is the pastor of Sacred Heart Church in Uvalde, Texas. Father Morales is going to go through the process of multiple funeral masses for those souls from his community who were lost 2 weeks ago. Monsignor Weiss knows that experience. He joins us from Newtown, Connecticut, where the 10th anniversary of the mass shooting at Newtown Elementary School is coming up this December. Monsignor, thanks for your time in this very emotional moment, and thanks for joining us here on Relevant Radio.
Well, thank you for the invitation.
What happens to you, Monsignor, no matter how strong your faith is, when you hear about another mass school shooting, especially this one in Uvalde, that so mirrors what happened in your community 10 years ago?
Yes, obviously every time another shooting takes place, you just keep asking the same questions over and over. This one was just a little too close to home. It was so much of similarities, and it really created a tremendous amount of flashbacks for all of us. It's really hard to ever know where you're going to be or what's going to happen when these events take place. And, you just hope that you have the strength and the resiliency to move forward from them.
Newtown was 10 years ago, the 10th anniversary coming up in December. And, of course, you relive the moment every time there's one of these school shootings. Can you take us through a little bit of what happened on that Friday in December 10 years ago? It'll perhaps give us a picture of some of the pain that we've seen in Uvalde in the last couple of weeks.
Absolutely, and tremendous confusion. I was called down to the school shortly after the shooting took place. I did go to the door, the front door of the school. I looked in. To be quite honest, I saw just a river of blood flowing down the corridor. And I said to, and the state police officer asked me to come in to bless the children. But, I said to myself, they are with the Lord. I need to go where the survivors are. I need to go where the parents of these children are. So I did go back to the firehouse, which was highly emotionally charged. There were people everywhere, people calling anybody they could to see if they could find their child. There are so many rumors when things like this take place. There were rumors that some ran to the police station, some were hiding in the woods, some were still hiding in places in the school they weren't able to get to. So a tremendous amount of confusion. But I think the most poignant moment was once roll call was called and the children who survived were taken by their parents. You looked against the back wall, and there were these 20 parents just standing there, realizing their child didn't stay present. And we were relocated to another area in the firehouse, and just it was so emotionally charged. Everybody was still holding on to the hope that these 20 children were going to be okay. But as time came on and went on, it was getting very, very clear that they did not survive. At 12 noon, the police chief had said to me and asked if I could get some other clergy down there because they were going to make an announcement that there were no survivors. And so I was able to rally a number of ministers from the community, and we were with those families until 3 o'clock when the governor came in and made the public announcement that their child had perished in this shooting.
What do you say about God's love and mercy at a time like that?
You know, everybody, I think that was the biggest question I was asked. You know, have you lost faith in God when you're standing in the midst of all this? And I never lost faith in God. I lost faith in humanity. You know, what is wrong with us that we are going to doing these things day after day after day? You know, I think it was obvious that the faith was strong because shortly before the governor met with them, they asked us as clergy to gather with them in a circle, and we entered into common prayer. And this was not just a, you know, this was interfaith at its best. And they really were holding on to their faith to get through this. And I had planned to do a Mass that evening. And by the time I got to the church 2 hours before the Mass, our campus was filled with over 2,000 people. The church was already full. People were gathered in small circles. You could hear them praying. I get lost.
No, I understand it. It's very personal, especially for those of us who are here in the New York metropolitan area, and I live only 30 miles from your parish in Newtown, Connecticut, so it becomes intensely personal for all of us. And, you know, we all go through those moments again, reliving the horror of what happened in Uvalde, so I completely understand how you feel. But, you know, you became not only the pastor of St. Rose of Lima Parish that day, but you almost became the pastor of really anyone who is watching this story from Newtown, Connecticut. And you were our paragon of strength and God's love and mercy, and trying to put this in perspective in a very difficult time. The parish became, obviously, the center of all activity for days and weeks to come. You were open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and I'm sure you saw some remarkable acts of love, even from those who weren't Catholic who showed up in Newtown.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the outpouring of kindness was overwhelming. I think the fact that it took place at Christmas also had to put a different layer on this whole thing. You know, here's these little first graders waiting for Santa Claus. And, you know, it was so emotionally charged. But the outpouring of kindness, the outpouring of goodness was astounding. And even though at times it was a little overwhelming and somewhat uncontrollable, just to know how many people were willing to stand with us, it wasn't a matter of curiosity. It really was a matter of, like, I can't believe this really happened. Mm-hmm. You know, we lived in that kind of attitude. This will never happen here, but I don't think anyone in this world can live with that attitude any longer, you know, and I always question, even today, where are we safe? You know, grocery shopping, movie theaters, yeah, churches, where are we safe? And then, of course, added to that, on Sunday, we had a threat put against us as a church, and we had to go through an even greater trauma, trying to get people safely out of the church into their cars and home so that the SWAT team could go through our facility and just assure us that we would be safe.
Hmm. Monsignor Robert Weiss joining us from St. Rose of Lima Parish in Newtown, Connecticut. He understands the horror of what's happening in Uvalde, Texas. Those are communities about the same size, Uvalde, a little bit smaller than Newtown, Connecticut. And what Monsignor has done is he's reached out to Father Eduardo Morales, who's the pastor of Sacred Heart Church in Uvalde, Texas, who will have to go through what Monsignor went through some 10 years ago. What did you write to him, if we could ask?
Well, I think first thing I said was, you know, that please know that we're standing in solidarity and in prayer with you, that, you know, we know where you are. But I just reminded them that, you know, first of all, the beauty of the universality of our church, that millions of people in our Catholic tradition are truly on their knees praying for them, that they were not alone in this. I just also reminded them that healing is going to take a great deal of time. And healing is something that's very personal, but just to encourage people to stay that journey, to don't just suppress this, but to keep mm-hmm. doing their best to work through it and to try to find healing. I talked a little bit about, you know, some of the experiences that we had and how overwhelming it can be, and, you know, just to try to kind of pace yourself and take it as it comes day by day. You know, he's in a little bit different position than I was. We did not have a bishop when all this took place, and I know the bishop in San Antonio has been a tremendous support for him. That was one thing that was really difficult for us. We didn't have that support at that level. But I just told him to, you know, to be open to the kindness, that healing does come, but tears will come probably for the rest of their life. And, you know, he will be identified as the priest of Uvalde, just as I've been identified as the priest of Sandy Hook.
Monsignor Robert Weiss with us this afternoon, giving us some perspective on Uvalde having through the massacre at Town Elementary School. Some 20 children between the ages of 6 and 7 were fatally shot, again with high-powered weapons. This was at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut, 10 years ago. What is the, now you have reached past, you've reached the age of retirement, canonically to retire, but the bishop has allowed you to stay on to go through and to guide not only the parish community, but the community at large through the 10th anniversary. What will the rest of this year be like for you and the parish and the community?
Well, I think, you know, we're hopeful that our memorial will be completed by then. That has been a bit of a challenge for us, and has been a kind of a source of controversy on many levels, but nevertheless, a memorial has been planned, and pray God will be available on this anniversary to be dedicated. But the, you know, I will say the week, the days that this happened, this town went quiet. You could just see it in the people. You know, you could see that they were feeling it, but you know, trying to relive it is so painful. But it was, the town became quiet. You know, and I think, you know, it all came back. There are so many flashbacks with this particular shooting, unlike some of the other ones that this country's endured.
I'm just having some difficulty with my microphone here, Monsignor. I apologize for that technical problem there. Talk a little bit about what it was like, because we've seen this in Uvalde, Texas, but talk a little bit about what it was like for you when the media starts to descend on your community and the way the Newtown community is set up. St. Rose of Lima Parish is right in the heart of Newtown, so that really became the staging area for not only law enforcement, but also for media and others who came into the community to help.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I remember walking out of the firehouse probably around 4:30 after all the families were gone, and I walked into a sea of media, and I've never had that experience, obviously, before, just being flooded with questions about what was said, how are the people doing, what were some of the reactions. And, you know, it dawned on me that at that moment it was still very private and very personal, you know, that every family is reacting in a very different way. All of them, of course, highly distressed and tragic. It was awful. But I, you know, for the most part, even this is a small town. It's all two-lane streets. So, you know, to have the media blocking all of our streets, especially the main arteries in town, and you know, people did get put upon quite a bit. I mean, I know people who had to park quite a distance from church in order to get into the church with the crowds. We're just, you know, kind of on their way here with that microphones put in their face and ask what they were doing. You know, that, it was really hard. This is the kind of community people move to be peaceful and quiet. And,
right.
You know, it wasn't a metro. It's not a metropolitan area by any means. So
sure.
I know many people felt very violated. Myself, I felt they're very respectful of our wishes. I really had no issues whatever with them coming into the funerals with cameras and things like that. I think they were very respectful, but I have to say it was absolutely overwhelming. You see the pictures of Uvalde with, you know, the shrines. This town was, this area especially, was just loaded. I mean, I think we probably took down over 1,000 rosary beads from the trees on our property that people had hung there. We went wow. through thousands of candles. And then, you know, we had the plush toys. We had every kind of therapy animal that was imaginable. We had therapy goats. We had therapy cows. We had people coming here just trying to do anything they could to help relieve and just show their support. But the media certainly were a presence, and it was overwhelming, again, because this is not that kind of community that is usually involved in things like that.
Right. Monsignor Robert Weiss with us, the pastor of St. Rose of Lima Parish in Newtown, Connecticut, knowing the pain firsthand, having lived through the tragedy at Sandy Hook Elementary School some 10 years ago, as we see what is happening in Uvalde, Texas, knowing firsthand, again, the pain that's going on right there. And of course, that you've witnessed as well. And Monsignor has written a letter to Father Eduardo Morales, who is the pastor of Sacred Heart Church in Uvalde, as he goes through the same process of burying not only many parishioners, but those from the community as well. 888-914-9149. If you'd like to join the conversation with Monsignor Weiss, 888-914-9149. As we continue here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Need some hope as a reminder that everything will be okay? Stay with us. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
John Harper for Drew, who will be back here on the air on Relevant Radio tomorrow. Right now, we're taking a look at the pain that we see unfold almost every day now in the aftermath of the shooting in Uvalde, Texas. And of course, we've seen this so many times since Columbine in the late 90s, all the way up to what happened in just a couple of weeks ago at Robb Elementary School. Monsignor Robert Weiss is the pastor of St. Rose of Lima Parish in Newtown, Connecticut. He knows firsthand because he was shepherding his flock and the community and to an extent the state of Connecticut and for all of us watching around the world 10 years ago at the shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School. Of course, there are so many similarities to what happened at Sandy Hook 10 years ago to what happened at Robb Elementary just a couple of weeks ago. And Monsignor has reached out to Father Eduardo Morales, the pastor of Sacred Heart Church in Uvalde, Texas. One of the messages that you gave is that there's still goodness in people. There's still goodness in people. Can you give us some spiritual direction and help us to see that goodness when we think it's just been eradicated, when we see what we've witnessed a couple of weeks ago in Uvalde?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, unfortunately, it takes events like this that really help people to shine and to see who they really are. I mean, I cannot ever recount the amount of goodness that was demonstrated to us. You know, I mean, just having people that we didn't even know coming in and, you know, straightening out our campus, cleaning up our house. It was everything was just so filled with people and so filled with things. It's just an amazing outpouring of how good the human heart is. And, you know, I wrote in that letter, don't let this define your community or don't let it define your parish. You know, the goodness is stronger. And our mantra, of course, was that light was not going to be dimmed by darkness. Mm-hmm. We would not allow that to happen. And I was asking them to, you know, inviting them to hold on to that same reality, to look for the goodness, to realize that good does conquer evil. But this is a situation where evil seemed to have conquered us for a moment, but it's never forever.
Your parish, Monsignor, I remember you telling me, was open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As you can imagine, after the tragedy, and there was this nonstop stream of people coming through, including those who were protecting the community. And I'm sure you saw some remarkable, you witnessed some remarkable witness with those who came into the church.
You know, what was happening was people were consoling each other. It was really a beautiful thing. You know, you would see a person sitting off to the side crying, and someone would just appear and just stand with them. You know, it was those are the kind of things that really mark the community and certainly mark the goodness of people. It's in the heart of every one of us, right? And it's unfortunate it took something this horrendous to bring it out as heavily as it did, but right. It's there. It's always there. And just the messages we receive from people around the world. You know, it was at Christmas time, so a lot of school children, you know, sent us special items for Christmas, lots of ornaments and lots of notes and prayer chains and everything imaginable. But it was such a universal outpouring. And I did like to remind him that that's the blessing of being a universal church as Catholics, you know. The reason I responded to him as quickly as I did, but when this happened here, Monsignor O'Sullivan from Dunblane, Scotland, contacted me immediately where he had had a school shooting. And that meant a great deal to me, you know. And he just reminded me, you know, to take every minute as it comes, to take breaths, you know, to pray, and to walk with people, to walk with them. Mm-hmm. Don't stand back and try to do anything. And I learned very quickly, it's not what you said, it was just presence. It was just being there for them. And, you know, there are no words to speak. You know, right. there's really nothing that you can say. But I had a hard time. I never really was able to connect with Father Eduardo. I tried to call, but, of course, you know, I understand that, too. I mean, our computer shut down as well, you know.
Sure.
But I felt I had to do something to let him know mm-hmm. I'm here and this community is with them. which kind of, as I say, gave me the impetus to get this letter off to him.
Sure.
Which I hope he's received. I don't know if he's ever received it or not, but maybe in time he will.
Indeed. Indeed. Some of our Relevant Radio listeners want to join the conversation with Monsignor Robert Weiss, who has lived through a similar tragedy that we see unfolding in Texas, having been through the Newtown, Connecticut school shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary some 10 years ago as the pastor of St. Rose of Lima Parish in Newtown, Connecticut. Brent in Illinois at 888-914-9149. Brent, good afternoon. Welcome to Relevant Radio.
Yes, I wanted to mention that part of the problem here is copycat crimes. The news media keeps on talking about it, you know.
Yeah, you know, and there is a lot of that as well, Brent. And, you know, it's one of those things where it's the double-edged sword of do you ignore it, do you cover it? It's such a major event that you obviously have to cover it. In this particular case, speaking to your point, Brent, we saw so many similarities with the killer, with the shooter, in terms of, you know, murdering a family member and the young man who perpetrated the crime at Sandy Hook Elementary killed his mother before coming to the school. So that's what makes it hit very close to home, because we've seen that happen before. Maria in Sacramento, California, good afternoon. Welcome.
Yes, good afternoon. English is not my primary language, and I'm going to try to say what I have to say as good as possible.
Sure.
I'm 73, and I have seen many things, live in different countries, different cultures. When I came to this country that I love, I have the perspective to see differences. The first one was how difficult it was for me to educate my child. They already was 10. Mm-hmm. I feel I had to do what in Rome you do what Romans do,
right.
And how bad it came out. Part of the I don't know how much part of the problem is not only guns, is the mentality, the education, the formation, moral and ethic formation of the individual.
That's a very good point, Maria, is the moral and ethical foundation of people. And Monsignor Weiss, I'm sure, you know, we could spend all day talking about that as well. But that, you know, really is a part of this. That really is the undercurrent of a lot of these shootings that we're seeing, is the lack of moral foundation, the lack of a moral foundation that we seem to have here in the United States. And I don't see that foundation getting stronger, although it's up to you and me to do that in our parish communities, because when we talk about setting the culture and Catholics being counterculture, no, we have to set the culture. And speaking to Maria's point, that's what we have to do, especially now in these very difficult times.
Well, I would absolutely agree. I think, you know, you tend to go into the fear mode when things like this happen. And we're really encouraging people to find that place of trust in the Lord. You know, just with Ascension Thursday and Pentecost, you know, not to be afraid, you know, that we will not be abandoned. And when you walk through these experiences, you know you're not walking alone. There's no way that as a human being you can just do this on your own.
Right.
You need God's mercy and God's presence. And
exactly.
I think that was extremely obvious during this whole episode.
How are some of the families doing today? I'm sure they're still a part of the Newtown community and part of the parish family at St. Rose of Lima. After 10 years, I know time does not heal. We like to use that cliche, but it doesn't really work. But how are they doing today?
You know, I mean, I think this was a setback for many of them. I noticed at Mass the following Sunday, you know, people are very respectful of those families. All the families except for one are still here. I will say they have done some remarkable things. They have taken the resources that were given to them as a gift and really done incredible things to remember their child, but also to let this child's life continue on. And there are just multiple benefits that people have received because of the loss of these children.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say many of the families have opened their hearts to others. And I know some of them went down to Uvalde. Some of them immediately just responded. You know, that's where we need to be. And they tend to do that when circumstances are similar to what we're doing here. But, you know, some have developed safety programs for schools, some have developed animal shelters, some have created athletic scholarships for kids who can't afford sports. I mean, a lot of wonderful things have come from this in spite of the horror. I mean, if you ask any of these parents what they want, they say they want their child back. But that can't happen. But they can keep the memory and the spirit of that child alive. Mm-hmm.
As we were mentioning, Father Morales, who is the pastor of Sacred Heart Church in Uvalde, Texas, is going through the process of funerals. The Sandy Hook shooting happened just a couple of weeks before Christmas, and then you had 8 funerals before Christmas.
Right.
What do you say at a funeral before especially because after a mass shooting and before Christmas?
Sure. I mean, I remember that Sunday night I said, we have to start planning funerals. So the first thing Monday, I gathered my staff together. Just like the gospel, I sent them out 2 by 2 to every one of the homes of the families. I created kind of a planning sheet. I said to them, you tell the families anything they want, we'll do. We had a little bit of unique music during the funeral, but it didn't matter to me. I mean, we had a American Girl doll sitting on top of one casket, a basketball sitting on top of another, a baseball ball, and a baseball glove sitting on top of a casket. We were trying to capture the spirit of these children and give the families as much consolation as they could. So it took planning. It certainly took planning. And again, it's God's grace. I mean, there's no other way you can get through something like this without opening yourself and trusting that the Lord's going to put the words in your mouth that will bring some kind of consolation to people.
And of course, you've probably witnessed the seeds of the Holy Spirit being planted in so many people who are coming through your church, total strangers, even in the middle of the night.
Absolutely. Yes, this church was a very active place, and it was beautiful to see. I mean, we had people of all religion. I remember one Sunday Mass, the entire Muslim community from the area came to attend one of our liturgies, and people were a little taken aback by it, but it just showed, it touched the heart of every person.
Mm. Monsignor Robert Weiss with us from St. Rose of Lima Parish in Newtown, Connecticut, who has reached out to Father Eduardo Morales, who's the pastor of Sacred Heart Church in Uvalde, Texas. Of course, Monsignor Weiss, just 10 years ago, it'll be 10 years this December, the massacre at Sandy Hook Elementary School. So he knows what Father Morales is going through. When you hear, and I know this is one of those topics where politics and faith just collide more than intersect. When you hear some of the dramatic testimony that happened this morning before the House subcommittee, and when you hear some of the witness of what happened among those survivors in the classrooms, what do we need to do as Catholics with clarity and charity to advance some sort of solution for the gun violence here in the United States?
I think we need to become a pro-life church. This is crazy what's going on in this country for the absolute disregard for life. We really need to reclaim that in the minds and the hearts of people, especially of our own Catholics. You can't be a pro-choice person and be an honest Catholic. You can't. Life is too precious. And whether, whatever the issue is, and this certainly is a violation of life, that is something that has to be planted in our hearts. We do not have the right to take the life of another person. And I think if we could just intensify our pro-life movement, we would be 2 steps ahead of any kind of law that could ever enforce this. Our parents all went down to Washington shortly after the shooting, and they poured their hearts out to these senators, and they came back defeated. Nothing was changed, and it's still 10 years later, it's still happening. So you can imagine how difficult and frustrating that is for people who want change. And, what's not creating the change, I don't know. But I believe if there's anything we can do on a parish level, on a personal level, it's really to embrace life.
What do you say to someone who says, Monsignor, I've been praying and praying and praying for change for the last 10 years. When's my prayer going to get answered? What do you say to that person?
Well, I have to say it's all in God's good time, but don't stop praying.
Right.
We certainly keep praying for that here every Mass we have. But in God's good time, it will happen. And I'm hoping, you always hope this will be the last one. But as there's been, I don't know how many, a myriad of shootings since this one.
Many.
And it's amazing to me that it's in the minds of people to be so destructive. I agree. I think much of it is the mental health issue. We have not been strong in creating or providing opportunities for people who are mentally distressed to get the help that they need. And, mm-hmm. and that is certainly something very important. You know, these are issues of domestic violence. There are issues of mental health. There are issues of gun violence. Just a total disregard for yourself and this total disregard for others.
Let's hear to Robert Weiss joining us from St. Rose of Lima Parish in Newtown, Connecticut. He lived through the Sandy Hook shooting and ministered not only to the parish community, but the community at large and really for the rest of us around the world watching what happened in Sandy Hook some 10 years ago. It'll be the 10th anniversary this December, and he too has reached out to the community in Uvalde, Texas to help them heal as well. Monsignor, if we could just borrow a few more minutes from you, we would appreciate it. And you can join our conversation here at 888-914-9149-888. 888-914-9149 as we continue here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
The Drew Mariani Show. Connected. Connected. Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
John Harper for Drew this afternoon. Our instantaneous communication really connects us all as a family. And we saw that with the latest school shooting, 19 students, two teachers killed in Uvalde, Texas at Robb Elementary just a couple of weeks ago. And it connects us all not only in grief, but in really all forms of emotion. And you and I have lived through this so many times before when our nerves are just absolutely raw. We went through it 10 years ago, December 2012, the massacre at Sandy Hook Elementary. Monsignor Robert Weiss knows exactly what that's like and what Father Eduardo Morales is going through, the pastor at Sacred Heart Parish in Uvalde, Texas. In fact, he's reached out to him based on his experience with the Newtown shooting some 10 years ago. Monsignor is the pastor of St. Rose of Lima Parish in Newtown, Connecticut, and joining us for a few more minutes here on the Drew Mariani Show. Monsignor, what did you learn about the strength of your own faith living through this?
Yeah, as I say, I think one of the biggest questions I was asked repeatedly was, does this make me lose my faith in God? How can God let these things happen? And, it was very clear to me from the beginning, this was definitely not God. This was evil at work. Mm-hmm. Not so much that this young man was evil, but certainly his actions. And I always respond, I never lost my faith in the Lord. I just questioned my faith in humanity, that someone could be this capable of creating so much hurt, so many destroying families, disturbing the entire community. That's where my questioning came in. It was never mm-hmm. with the Lord.
When the adrenaline dies down, when did it really hit you? What happened?
You know, I think for me, this went on for a long time. It took us over a month just to process through all the cards and the gifts and the things that were sent to us. And we had a number of things sent to our families through us, distributing them. It took an immense amount of volunteer hours. And it was quite difficult for the volunteers. They became very emotionally involved in this and reading letters from people who had lost a child or, you know, just going through this over and over and over. And then I was appointed to a committee to help oversee the funding that came in. And that was something that no one of us expected. I certainly didn't expect people would be sending us checks, you know, for all kinds of reasons. But those things, they took so much of our time and they distracted a lot of us from where we should have been keeping our focus. You know what I mean? We really didn't enter into the grieving process ourselves for quite a while because of that. And I also realized, too, you know, that someone came to me shortly after the shooting and said, you know, my son was killed in November in a truck accident. Nobody even cares about us anymore. All the attention has gone to these families. Mm. And it just dawned on me that every day another person is going through a tragedy, right, whether it's the loss of a spouse or a diagnosis with cancer. You know, it just reminds us that you have to be ever present. You know, the needs of people are so great, and the situations the Lord asks them to live with are so draining, and to keep trying to find the energy to relate to that. I still, as you can hear a couple of times in this interview, I still break up. I certainly sure. have not processed all of this yet. The post-trauma is very strong in me, and, you know, I'm again not sleeping well. It's stressful. Just being reminded of everything that happened that day.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know if you really ever get over it, you know, especially when you were just immersed in as much as I was. But I do think, you know, prayer has certainly been a big help. And when I get to a point where I'm saying, like, you know, no more, I can't take any more, you know, you just go sit in the church and be quiet for a while and let the Lord quiet you down. Let the Lord speak to you. But, I mean, I did seek professional help. I did go away for a couple of weeks to a center. You know, I did the best I could. People were constantly encouraging me to take medication, and I was trying to resist doing that. I just felt, you know, that if anything was going to get me through this, it would be my own sense of faith.
Right. We've seen the massacre, and of course, we're talking about that in Uvalde and what you experienced, Monsignor Weiss, in Newtown. But there are those tragedies, there are those slights, whatever it might be in our lives, that we don't forget. So right. How do we forgive? How do we forgive? We can't forget, but how do we forgive? That's got to be the toughest part, especially when someone comes in and murders your child. How do you forgive?
Sure. I mean, I think forgiveness is the one aspect we have not really processed through yet. I think people are still questioning so many things. And you certainly are seeing that down in Uvalde with the issue with the police and the first responders. You know, that gets in the way of forgiveness. It gets in the way of forgiveness. We're all human beings. These kind of things happen to us. We, you know, no one of us has a book on how to deal with this. We try to write one, but you don't know until it hits you and your emotions emerge. So forgiveness is absolutely essential. You know, I think a lot of people have resolved somewhat to the fact that this young man was sick. But, you know, there is still, why didn't they do this? Why didn't they do that?
Right.
So for some people, I think forgiveness will be totally impossible.
What we're seeing in Uvalde is something that we also witnessed in Newtown, and that is the resiliency of the community, but also the resiliency of the parish community as well. And this story would be incomplete if we didn't acknowledge the resiliency of the parish community at St. Rose of Lima.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it kind of sat back one or twice and said, these are the fruits of your labor, when I was just watching this parish in action. It's even hard to describe what I witnessed. But, you know, people were in this rectory 24/7, answering phone calls, answering doors, providing protection. Our Knights of Columbus were astounding. They were just out in the parking lot. As I say, people were just here to help other people. And a lot of people who came in from the outside were as deeply moved as those of us who lived here. And, you know, just to have this community be present to them and to reach out and encourage them. You know, I don't know how many candles were ever lit at once in the church, but we didn't even need to leave the lights on, to be quite honest. It was just that total outpouring. And I do think this parish really showed its strength in the midst of this. And as I say, the presence is the word to me, you know, just simply being present. But again, I just so vividly remember. I remember one night I went over to the church. Well, you know, most of the wakes were in our church because our funeral home is rather small, and it was winter. And there was a police officer sitting in the back room with one of the children in their casket reading to them. And he looked at me and said, I know this probably seems strange, but this is what I'd be doing if I were home with my son. You know, so those moments just live forever in your mind. Like,
yeah.
What faith, you know, what love, what care. It was beautiful.
I'm fighting back tears as you tell that story right now, Monsignor. It's very difficult to hear. This was the last day of school at St. Rose of Lima School. So it's a joyous time for many of the children there on your campus as they embark on summer vacation. What was today like as the final day of school at St. Rose of Lima?
I will tell you, we went kind of on a silent lockdown after this happened, just because you mentioned earlier copycat. We were hesitant about bringing the children over. You know, we had pre-kindergarten graduation, kindergarten graduation, eighth grade graduation. One of our local high schools had their graduation. You know, we were bringing children back and forth. We were questioning whether we could have our end-of-the-year field day. So we put ourselves in somewhat of a lockdown mode just to be on high alert.
Wow.
You know, and I think we were able to keep the children unaware of that, but it was very obvious. We had sentinels at all the church doors. For the first few masses they came over, we were actually locking the doors and only allowing people in that we recognized. And, I mean, that's the point you get to. You know, you have to do everything you can to try to keep these children safe. But it really was, we're happy. We ended a couple of weeks early, thanks be to God. because it was tough trying to maintain a sense of security.
Monsignor, thank you for being so candid with us this afternoon about what is going on in Uvalde, Texas, as you lived it 10 years ago with the massacre at Sandy Hook Elementary School in the St. Rose of Lima Parish community. Monsignor Robert Weiss is the pastor of St. Rose of Lima in Newtown, Connecticut. Please keep the parish community and all of the school children, as we are keeping everyone in Uvalde, in our prayers. Monsignor, thank you, and be assured of our prayers here at Relevant Radio. Thanks for your time
and
being
so
candid.
Thank you.
Take care.
God bless you.
Monsignor Robert Weiss from St. Rose of Lima in Newtown, Connecticut. Some of the stories that you don't get to hear and certainly are never reported in the secular media, but exactly what went on and all of the goodness that is really underlying in these communities amidst the tragedy. And also the reality, as Monsignor was just saying, about how the school basically went into somewhat of a lockdown, certainly a silent lockdown for the very last day of school. And this is something that is just emblazoned, obviously, in the kids' minds moving forward. So we continue our prayers for the community and for peace, not only peace in our hearts, but peace in our world. Minute before the hour now here on the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.